So a totally unrehearsed, dramatised reading of Matthew 26, verses, that's not 3 to 56, that's wrong, something like that, 36 to 56, I think that's 1 to 56. So, I'll leave you to it.
Jesus said to his disciples,
"This very night, all of you will run away and leave me, for the scripture says, God will kill the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised to life, I will go to Galilee ahead of you."
Peter spoke up and said to Jesus,
"I will never leave you, even if all the rest do."
"I tell you that before the cock crows tonight, you will say 3 times that you do not know me."
"I will never say that, even if I have to die with you."
And all the other disciples said the same thing. Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them,
"Sit here while I go over there and pray."
He took with him Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee. Grief and anguish came over him.
"The sorrow in my heart is so great that it almost crushes me. Stay here and keep watch with me."
He went a little farther on, threw himself face downwards on the ground and prayed,
"My Father, if it is possible, take this cup of suffering from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want."
Then he returned to the 3 disciples and found them asleep. And he said to Peter,
"How is it that you were not there to be able to keep watch with me, even for 1 hour? Keep watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak."
Once more, Jesus went away and prayed,
"My Father, if this cup of suffering cannot be taken away unless I drink it, your will be done."
He returned once more and found the disciples asleep. They could not keep their eyes open. Again, Jesus left them, went away and prayed the 3rd time, saying the same words. Then he returned to the disciples and said,
"Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come that the Son of Man is to be handed over to the power of sinful men. Get up, let us go. Look, here is the man who is betraying me."
Jesus was still speaking with Judas. One of the 12 disciples arrived. With him was a large crowd, armed with swords and clubs, and sent by the chief priests and the elders. The traitor had given the crowd a signal.
"The man I kiss is the one you want. Arrest him."
Judas went straight to Jesus and said,
"Peace be with you, teacher."
And he kissed him. Jesus answered,
"Be quick about it, friend."
Then they came up, arrested Jesus and held him tight. One of those who were with Jesus drew his sword and struck at the high priest's slave, cutting off his ear. Jesus said to him,
"Put your sword back in its place. All who take the sword will die by the sword. Don't you know that I could call on my Father for help, and at once he would send me more than 12 armies of angels? But in that case, how could the scriptures come true, which say that this is what must happen?"
Then Jesus spoke to the crowd,
"Did you have to come with swords and clubs to capture me, as if though I were an outlaw? Every day I sat down in the temple, and you did not arrest me. But all of this has happened in order to make what the prophets wrote in the scriptures come true."
Then all the disciples left him and ran away.
Thank you, and thank you for your welcome. I have very pleasant memories of being here before, but I also remember that I didn't turn myself on. So am I working? Can you hear me? That was the reading that's just been dramatised. Matthew 26, 31 to 56. I'm grateful. I think it was Judith who chose the title and the reading. And it's nice when I don't have to think of that. And it was nice to read it again. It's nice to have it dramatized. It's also nice. I actually did most of my study by watching a video of it. I've mentioned this before, but I really like it. It helps Bible study. It's called Lumo, and they've turned the only words you hear are from the NIV, but they enact on the screen what's going on. So you'll see a few images of that. But the images that I was passed was this from Judith, a book, the Easter story. And there is our classic image of Jesus alone in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's prostrating himself before God. He's had this prayer to God to ask the cup to be taken from him. You can see his friends asleep, and you can see in the distance the crowd coming to arrest him. A familiar image. And there's one of my challenges for this morning. If you have been a Christian a long time, if you've read your Bible often, then especially at Easter, as we come towards this, towards this time, we're rather familiar with this passage, actually. So how can I bring something to you to shed new light on this passage? Well, I'm lucky enough, I don't do it as much as I like, but I'm lucky enough to occasionally go into schools to help their RE lessons. I do it through a charity called RE Inspired. They go into primary schools to help with RE lessons. And before one particular session, just 2 weeks ago, the teacher was doing a pop quiz, just hitting them with random questions and hearing the children's answer. And one of the children clearly got a bit confused and muddled, and they started, as an answer to the question, talking about this parable that Jesus spoke about spoiled milk. And I'm thinking, oh gosh, I thought I knew my parables. I don't know this one. And the child had got confused between another story told by a Sikh guru that they'd been doing earlier in that year, and they got it mixed up with Jesus. And that made me think, well, yes, that's the way RE is taught. It's just Jesus is just one amongst many wise and noble people. But we as Christians think that Jesus is a bit special, a bit unique. And it was really nice to hear Graham giving his short list of what do we think about Jesus. Now, I'm going to use a lens through which to view our scripture this morning. I don't mean a literal magnifying glass, but just a way of thinking. Take a particular aspect of Jesus and use that to inform our thoughts this morning about very familiar passages. The first two things Graham said on his list was that Jesus was both man and God. And if we're talking in more theological school terms, we will say fully human and fully divine. Now, there is a whole sermon series in itself on just what does that mean? How does that affect things? I'm not going to explain that nature of Jesus, not least because it's rather hard to explain, actually. How can somebody be fully human and fully divine? But I'm just going to use that to, as I say, a lens, a way of thinking about our passage this morning. And interpreting, what does it mean for Jesus to be alone? Because he's fully human, we believe that he experienced everything that we experience. So Jesus knows what it's like to be alone, because he is fully human. But I'm going to propose to you this morning that actually he has felt loneliness, abandonment, sadness, even more than we can feel, because he is also fully divine. He knows everything that God knows. He knew what was going to happen before it happened. Now again, this can, you can go down rabbit holes with this. Well, hold on. If he knows everything, why was he praying in the Garden of Gethsemane for the cup to be taken from us if he knew the answer? No, I can't answer everything. I could say, well, I talk to myself sometimes. Is that what Jesus was doing in some strange way? It's hard to get your head around. But nevertheless, I'm going to take that idea and use it, I hope, to illuminate to you that I think Jesus felt that loneliness, that abandonment more than we do. Do we feel alone when we're pretty sure we're the only one who knows what's going on? You see, there's lots of ways of feeling alone, and I don't just mean physically alone. You can be in a crowded room, in a situation, and you can be thinking, how does everybody not understand what's happening here? Am I the only one who gets the big picture, who understands what's going on? I propose to you that Jesus knows that, and more so. It's always good when you're looking at a Bible passage to read back a bit. Just earlier on in Matthew 26, he is talking to his friends, his disciples, and he says, as you know, Passover is only 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. Did the disciples understand this? Did they understand what was going to happen? No, not at all. Jesus, because he was fully God, he knew the plan, he knew what was going to happen. He was the only one who had a full grasp of what was happening. And his mates, the ones he'd been wandering around with for 3 years, still didn't have much of a clue. I think Jesus would have felt rather alone in that situation. You feel alone in similar situations. But I just ask you to draw strength from the fact that Jesus knows what you're feeling. He knows what it's like to be misunderstood. And he will be beside you when things get tough. Do you feel alone when you know somebody, maybe a friend, better than they know themselves? It's just the two of you. You're chatting. They say they're going to do something, but they're kidding themselves. You know them better than they know themselves. Jesus, because he is fully God, talks to Peter, his number one man. This very night, before the cock crows, you will disown me 3 times. But Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. This is just building on that feeling of, you don't understand, Peter. Not only does Peter not understand what's going on, he doesn't even understand himself. He makes this statement, I will stand with you. Jesus knows that's not going to happen. This is immediately before what we saw enacted out. It didn't take long. Maybe you are with a friend and they're just kidding themselves. You know what's going to happen. They don't. You feel a bit alone. Oh, my friend doesn't even get this. Your comments are ignored. They don't get it at all. If that happens to you, just take strength that Jesus knows what that is like. He'll be beside you when things get tough. Have you lost good friends? People who were beside you and you thought helped you? Do you feel alone when you thought that somebody believed in you, but now they don't? Again, just before the reading, we saw enacted out. It's the Last Supper. Jesus is saying, and while they were eating, he said, truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me. He knew that one of the 12, again, who's been travelling around everywhere for the last 3 years, Judas is giving up on the whole project. Judas is going to take matters in his own hands. And for whatever reason, again, you could have a whole sermon on what was Judas thinking? What was he trying to do? Was it just the money? Was he trying to force the issue? Whatever it is, he's given up on the big project that they've just spent 3 years doing. Do you feel let down when a friend you've been working with on something just gives up and goes their own way and does their own thing? Well, Jesus knows that and more. Jesus knows what it's like to lose friends. He will be beside you in those tough times. But maybe your friends are sticking with you. They've offered to help. Do you feel alone when you ask your friends for help? And they even say yes, but you still end up being on your own. That's what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane. He returned to his friends, who he's called over to ask to be with him when he's doing these prayers, these heartfelt, gut-wrenching prayers, because he knows what's going to happen. He asks for the cup to be taken from him. Are his friends there supporting him? No. They're catching up on some shut-eye. Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? We heard that read out. Jesus knows what's happening. He's asked for help from his friends and they've just snoozed through it. How alone must he feel? So you may well have experienced friends not really coming through, not helping you when you need it, and they even promise to help. But Jesus knows that feeling so much. He knows what it's like to be let down. He'll be beside you when things get tough. And why was he praying in Gethsemane? Maybe you feel alone when it's a struggle to do what you know has to be done and only you can do it. You can't pass the buck. It's up to you. You're not looking forward to it. You've got to do this thing, whatever it is in our wide and complex lives. It can be a struggle. We can really feel alone. Only I can do this. That's exactly what Jesus was doing when he prayed for help from his heavenly Father. Was desperate for this cup, this chalice to be taken from him because he didn't want to go through with it. Now, here's our dichotomy. Hold on, he's fully human and he's fully God. He knows the big picture. He knows he has to go through with it. But he's fully human. He's scared, people. He knows what's going to happen. This is tough. He's going to sacrifice his own life. And he knows how that's going to happen. And he knows those events from here, the Thursday evening, through to his crucifixion on Friday. How lonely must he have felt? So if you find it tough in your own lives, that the burden is on your shoulders, only you can go through with it, but it's tough going, take strength that Jesus knows what it's like to struggle alone. He's with you. And now let's go further on that friend not seeing the vision. Now they've not just drifted away, but they betray you. That is what we saw acted out. That is what happens in the Garden of Gethsemane. The betrayer had arranged a signal with them, The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him. If this picture's a bit hard to make out, the way that the Lumo video does it, they kiss Jesus' hand. I'd never seen that before. And that made me go down a Bible study rabbit hole of, ooh, actually, I've always seen this acted out with being kissed on the cheek. I wonder if they did that. The Bible doesn't tell us, but most people do believe it was Judas kissing him on the cheek because that was the way that friends greeted people. Friends greeted people. Jesus was betrayed with a friendly signal. How heart-wrenching would that be? Judas has not just left the project and drifted away. He is now betrayed. Again, we may feel that in our own lives. This person who was a friend, had been travelling with us, is now betrayed us, not just let us down by their absence, but deliberately turned against us. Jesus knows what it's like to be betrayed. And so if you're feeling that, draw strength that he's beside you. And maybe it's not just one friend. Maybe suddenly all your friends abandoned you. Now you really are truly, physically alone. And that was the last line in our reading. Again, it's a poor picture because it's at night, but that's a screenshot from when then all the disciples deserted him and fled. He's now alone. He's surrounded by the guards who have come to arrest him. But he is alone, facing what he must do over the next 24 hours. Yet knowing exactly what that will entail because he's fully God. It's not just being alone in the, oh, I don't know what's going to happen. No, this is worse. He knows precisely what's going to happen. How alone must he feel? So when we feel alone and abandoned, draw strength that Jesus knows what that is like and he will be with you. So I suggest to you that Jesus has felt alone in many different ways. In crowded rooms with his friends, he's felt alone. And yet at the end of our story, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he is truly alone, physically, as well as having to face what's ahead of him. But whatever it is you're going through, Jesus knows your situation. He understands it, and I am proposing to you, has felt it even more intently than the pain and anguish, the confusion and bewilderment, the sense of abandonment, all those things that you feel. He feels more. He's been through it before you. He came out the other side, resurrected. You can do the same if Jesus travels alongside you. Amen.